like to read from Hebrews 4, please, and see that God has made a rest for the people of God to enter into. That's a great promise. He is also giving us the word of God, which is powerful, and he's also the priest that intercedes for us before the throne of grace. So, quite a package in Hebrews 4. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news, that God has prepared this rest, has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. As for the others, God said, "In my anger, I took an oath that they will never enter my rest." Even though this rest has been ready since he made the world, we know it is ready because of the place in the scriptures where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from his work. But in the other passage, God said, "They will never enter my place of rest." So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest. And that time is today. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. "Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts." Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings as we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help it when we need it most. Amen.
Amen. Let's welcome Don. It's good to have him here.
Is that yours?
It was just a test to see if he could do it without his Bible.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Hold on, that's...
Good morning, everyone. Okay. When I walked in through those curtains this morning, I kind of felt I was walking into a fire. You were all sort of getting lost in the presence of the Lord, and you were on fire. And my heart went back that it's a many years I've been coming, and it really, for me, all began in the tent in Portishead. I've even forgotten what year that was, but it must be getting on for 40 years now. And every year that I come, something new is happening. And when I walked into, felt I walked into you all being on fire, that was something new. And you never know what God has for us as we go on with him. Well, Isn't Jesus wonderful? Yeah, I'll never change on that one. I just want to know it more and more, better and better. Okay, I want to share with you this morning, I've entitled it, The Power of the Word. And Psalm 119, verse 161, is where I want us to look at this morning. My heart, and we've been singing about letting go of the heart, my heart stands in awe of your word. My heart stands in an awesomeness at God's word. You know, and God's word is important. God's word is essential. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong. In our lives, it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. I'm 60. I've become 60 recently. And in case you haven't got the pick, what I mean is it's 60 years since I was born again. And I remember that night is as real today as it was that night. And I kind of sat back after I realized I was 60 and meditated on what had happened in my life and had taken me all around the world and to many mighty things that had happened, all God's doing. And I thought to myself as I meditated, what is significant about what happened that night that's got me this far? Because something has to happen to get you moving on from A to B and so on. And the first thing I realized was that night they sung a chorus. It's an old Cliff College chorus, but they sung it, I think, 20 times that night. And the Bible says we teach ourselves with psalms and spiritual songs. And it's something that has been real in my life every day for those 30 years. And it went like this. On Calvary's tree, he died for me, that I his love might know. To set me free, he died for me, and that's why I love him so. And that was the first thing. God planted that into my life. I thank God they didn't just sing it once. I probably would never be able to remember it now. But it was sown. It was sown in. And it has grown. And it has got me past many difficult situations. Just to become aware that he loves me. I noticed that was an emphasis that was coming through this morning. Was God loving us. And God wanting everybody here to know he loved you. He loved you so much, he died for you. He took your place on the cross. Simple gospel preaching. I love it. But then there were two other things that God emphasized to me. And I believe God wants to touch some people with this one this morning. The man who prayed with me that night and used the term led me to Christ, he did two things. Number one, he sort of handed me the Bible like that and said, Mr. Double, this is God's love letter to you. What a beginning in your Christian life to be told that. This is God's love letter to you. And every page in here is God's love letter to me. Now, when I've been over in Africa in particular many times, and I would be taken off into the bush for a few days, out of civilization. And when I got back after a few days to civilization, the first thing I want to know, is there a letter from Heather, my wife? And if there was one, I would sit down, open it and read it. But I wouldn't just read it that once. I'd read it breakfast time, lunch time, and supper every day for a few days. I couldn't stop reading it because she loved me, and I could feel the love in the words that she'd written to me, and that's what I wanted. And when I read God's word, I can feel the love in God to me. That's how powerful the word is. It's not just print on paper. It's not just words that people have written down. This is God loving me. And for 60 years, I've been enjoying that love. You know, I read the Hebrews 4 this morning. Oh, I felt the love of God to me, Don Double. And then the other thing that this brother did, he gave me the book again. And he said, Mr. Double, this is the book with God in it. Oh, and I've never forgotten that. And you know, it's difficult almost to open it without God leaping out the page at you. God specialized. He can really leap. And when you open this book and read it, a verse often will just jump out of the page at you. Just one verse, and you can live on it for days, because it's God leaping out of his book to you. And so for the last 60 years, God's been leaping out of the book at me. And that's the way it is. And the verse that really leapt out to me this morning was Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive. You missed a good place to say amen. Let's try it again. For the word of God is alive. Oh, that's better. It's alive and it's active. This word, it's pulsating with life and it's active. When it touches you, it does something. There was a mention this morning as well of God changing us. God wants to change us. And his word is a word that changes us. And it penetrates. Penetrates. It gets right to the core of the thing. It touches the things that need God to work on them. And there he expresses his love in changing us. And it divides between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. You know, the soul is the feelings. The spirit is the faith. This where God works. It tells us in Ephesians 6:17, the word of God is the sword of the spirit. When you open the book, you've got a sword in your hands, a sword that deals with issues and deals with things. You know, Hebrews 4:12 in the Amplified Bible puts it this way: for the word of God speaks, is alive, and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effectual. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and of marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and processes of the heart. What an amazing thing that God's word goes in us, goes all over us, goes to the feelings. I heard, you know, said this morning as well, bring everything and give it to God. All your dreams, all your desires, and everything like that, including bringing your hurts, bringing the negatives that need the attention, and changing the negatives into positives, that this word is alive and working in us. In Hebrews 11:3, I find this a remarkable verse to do with the word of God, this word that's working in us, this word that's living in us, this word that's alive, this word that's penetrating. This is it. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which were visible. This word that's alive, it's the same word that God used when he created the heavens, the earth, the sea, that everything in it is, hallelujah, the sun, the moon, the galaxies. And when you read some of the stories now, that it takes trillions of light miles to get to some of the galaxies that God has made up there. This is my God. This is your God. This is the God that loves us, the God that is working in us. You know, when you realize what he did with the word, by just speaking this world into existence, it blows your mind that he takes little you and little me, and he uses that same penetrating word to get to the very depth of our being and deal with the issues that are there for you and I. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." You've been born again, and that is timeless and eternal. Hallelujah. Born again. That's what happened to me 60 years ago. About 2 minutes to nine, the 18th of October, 1954. I was there when it happened. And it's still going on. Hallelujah. You know, people talk about it fades away. It don't fade. Hallelujah. God fans it to go on more and more. And John 15:3, we are clean because of the word Jesus spoke to us. You know, I opened that up the other day and read some of that stuff in John 15 about we're clean because of the word. So this word, when I read it, when I meditate on it, it's still alive and active, and it's washing and cleaning me. In Ephesians 5:26, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word. You know how wonderful this word is. We get ourselves sometimes, you can get in a business situation and some of the words you hear go in your ears and you hear them. And they can start niggling you. But you've got to do something about it. Hallelujah. You start reading this word. Start meditating on what God has been saying to you. And it starts cleansing you, cleansing your mind, and restoring you back to that clean way. You need to have a wash in the word. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I love a shower every morning, first thing. I just love to get out of my bed and get in the shower. And that's lovely. And that washes the outside. But I need a shower on the inside as well. And so, you know, throughout the day, I keep having a wash. I keep having a shower on the inside. And the word goes on cleaning us. And it's a lovely, clean feeling when you start allowing the word to be alive and working in you. It's so precious. You see, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. No. Don't let the pattern of this world get you. You might have to be out there in the midst of it, but you've got something far more powerful and far more wonderful working in you to deal with those issues. And so, you know, have a little copy of the scriptures that you can poke in your pocket or in your handbag or in your purse or something, so you can always have an opportunity to have a little wash with the word, cleaning you up through the day. And, you know, the word changes us by, it flows through us by the Spirit. You know, the words Jesus speak to us, they're spirit and they are life. And they flow, there's a flow through us of the word of God. Romans 10, verse 6 to 10, but the righteous that is by faith says, do not say in your head, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And so, our heart, our mouth, our mind, our being, that's what has to allow God's word to be that part of our life with him. And, you know, first thing in the morning, what usually happens to me, I start declaring, Jesus Christ is Lord. And the next thing, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when I do that, boy, don't I feel different. And we do. We change the way we feel by what we believe in our heart and what we confess in our mouth. That's the power of the word. That word that is alive. You see, we can be challenged by the word of God, but we need to be changed by the word of God. We need to go beyond the challenge to the change. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says this, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Living in the Word, this word that changes us. And it's the washing of rebirth, but it's also the renewal by the Holy Spirit. And how important the Holy Spirit is in our life with God in His Word. The Word and the Spirit say amen to each other. And it's absolutely vital. I was thinking back again to all those years and in the tent in Porter's Head. And, you know, some people got baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues and were never the same after that. Absolutely transformed and changed because the Holy Spirit and the Word together is what does the changing, and God wants the flow of the Spirit to be with the Word in our lives day in and day out. Matthew 4:4 says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." And that's a repeat of what's in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. That man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. What's God said to you lately? If we had a little competition this morning of people telling us what God has said to us, let's be kind and say it during the last week. What would you write down? What's God said to you? That's the important thing. And that's what is also important for me. Thank God, I know a few things God said to me in the last week, and I'm expecting Him to say some more in the coming week. And I need Him. Man doesn't live by bread alone. You know, we had sausages and scrambled egg this morning, and that put some physical energy into me. But I've been reading the scriptures. I've had a psalm, and I've had Hebrews 4 and different places in scripture all the time. I don't live by bread alone. I don't live by sausages and scrambled egg. Really, I live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And it's not just what is coming out, you know, of reading it. The word that proceeds from God is the now word. You know, we can read words that were yesterday's words. Nothing wrong with them, but we wait to know what God's saying to them. And I noticed in the service this morning, there was a time when things sort of got a little quieter and we were told to listen to God. You know, you're a very privileged church. I travel extensively all over the place. There ain't many churches that would tell you to sit still and listen to God. But that should be a daily. That should be daily. We should listen to God. And we live by the word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. We're going to wind up with some practical things now. Psalm 107 and verse 20. He, that's God, sent His word and healed them. He rescued them from the graves. He sent His word and healed them. I wonder how many sick people that are here this morning. And God is sending His word. Go beyond my voice. Go to God, and God's sending His word. And don't be surprised if sitting there in your seat, you get healed because God sends His word. And that's happening many times. You might have heard this one from me before. This is about 5 years ago. This actually happened in Cardiff, in All Nations Church there, with about 354 people, 100 people sitting there, and I was preaching, and I preached, and I made the altar call, and loads of folks came forward, some first-time salvations, everything. They even baptized some people in water who had come to Christ in that meeting. All kinds of things happened. But what we didn't know was happening, there was a lady there with gone from me now, for the disease. MS, that's right, with MS. Thank you, Mike. I was glad you were there that day. with MS, sitting in the congregation, and God healed her. And she went to the doctors, and he confirmed she was healed. And but she wasn't even saved. You know, God has got a right to heal and save people if he wants to. Amen? Amen. And as a result of her healing, she came to the Lord. And when I went back there a year later, I was introduced to her. That was the first time I heard of her, saw her, or anything. I got the story. But she sat in the congregation and got healed. For God sent his word and healed her. Woo! What a powerful word this is. And when God handles it, he gets results. So come on, lift your spirits. Lift them and believe God for something great to happen. And God will bless you. He sent his word and healed them. Part of his word is they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we'll do that. Don't worry if you're sick. You come and I've got a pair of hands that's in at least hundreds, if not thousands, healed in my life and ministry. Because God did it. God honored his word. You know, I'm proud of the fact that I can just sit back and let God work. And I think that's, if I've learned anything in my life, that's one thing I have learned that I am still learning more and more and want to work that through more and more. John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Amen. Is that in your Bible? Ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. But the condition is that you receive God's word, that preceding word, and it remains in you. Remains in you. Not the next door neighbor, but you. It remains in you. You know, there's a lot of people who kind of have what I call a yo-yo experience. You know what yo-yo experience is? Up and down, up and down, up and down. But God's word needs to remain in us. In us. And that word is working. And then when you ask, you will receive. Because the word is working in you and working through you. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Faith is not a feeling, it's a fact. And faith comes because you hear. You hear God speaking. We're getting back to this morning. We were told to sit back and listen to what God said. It'll be very interesting what God did say to some of us. I'm not going to ask you, but go on thinking. And if you haven't heard from God yet, expect it before the end of the service, because he will do it. Psalm 119 and 100. Verse 105. It's a lovely psalm, not very long. Read it. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is a light and a lamp. In other words, it gives us guidance. I wrote a book out of print now, so I'm not trying to sell it. But it was called Be Real About Guidance. And all of us, we need God to guide us. We need his guidance. We need his word to be a lamp and a light to our path. God's word can lead us wherever we need to go. And you need to know this. God is never unscriptural. God watches over his word to perform it, and he's never unscriptural. I like to see the word of God as my sat-nav. You know, around the world these days, wherever you seem to go, everybody's starting to buy sat-navs. And for us, you know, the maps are no longer in the car. It's all sat-nav. And, you know, the word of God is your sat-nav through guidance. The guidance that you need, you have got the best sat-nav in the world. God's word, let it guide you. And the Bible says that God's word, Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Your theme this year, I think that verse fits it absolutely perfect. Friendships with each other, ministering to one another with psalms and hymns, spiritual songs and that, speaking into one another's lives, seeing people change, getting excited with testimonies and truth, excited about what God's done. That, you know, we turn up for a cup of coffee and before we can drink the coffee, we're so excited. Let me tell you what God's been doing. Isn't that wonderful? The whole of Cleveland will want to join that sort of thing and come into the kingdom. 1 Peter 25 and 1 Peter 1 and 2. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind, like newborn babes crave milk, spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. What a beautiful word that is, crave. Crave spiritual milk. Crave. I've had 5 children, and every one of them, when it was hungry, showed me it was hungry. It was craving milk. And it would go, ah! Ah! God wants you to be like that for spiritual milk. Crave it. Crave God to talk to you. It's all right, you know, God's talking to Daniel, but isn't God talking to you? And if he ain't, crave it. Start screaming out, God, I need to hear from you. And he will feed you. He doesn't like his children screaming too long. Hallelujah. And this is a couple of scriptures to close with, still in Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, the baby has a good drink and it fills its little stomach and it goes to sleep and it's as calm as a cucumber and no one can disturb it. I've hidden your word in my heart. I've filled my heart with your word. Get God's word inside you. Let it fill you up, God's word. And when you do that, it will stop you sinning. Isn't that one of your goals? You want to stop sinning? Hide the word, the living word, God's word in your heart. Let your heart be full of it. And that it's there and it contends with other things that shouldn't be there trying to get in. And it boots it out because the word of God is so powerful and alive. Mark 16:20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. God doesn't confirm our feelings, he confirms his word with signs following. And my very last scripture, and I love this one, Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. The Holy Ghost has come and they've all been filled with the Spirit and spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And Peter, Simon Peter, the one that had even denied his Lord, and Jesus had forgiven him, and he stood up, and what did he do? He preached the word to them. And he goes right through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. And he preached that message. And the Bible tells us that those that gladly received the word were baptized. 3,000 souls. The very first Holy Ghost sermon that was ever preached on this earth by Simon Peter, 3,000 people came to Christ. And the people who gladly received the word were baptized. It was some baptismal service. I've seen a few hundred get baptized in one service, you know, in different places, but here it was 3,000. But it was 3,000, not just 3,000 people that wanted to be baptized, but 3,000 people that gladly received the word. Now, you've heard me preach this morning. I've covered a fair bit of ground. I wonder how many of you can say you gladly received the word that you heard. There'll be different things for different people. It won't all be alike, but you'll all have heard something. And you really say, I gladly received the word. And if I understand right, being glad is being happy, being positive, being joyful, being thrilled. You received it. And if you received it, you'll do something. These people got baptized. I'm going to suggest in a moment that we stand. And when we stand, I'm going to invite every person that God has spoken to this morning to surrender, not to me, but to God, but to Jesus. Number one, I've been talking about what happened to me 60 years ago. What happened to me 60 years ago is I heard the gospel, I went forward, I was prayed with, I repented of my sin, I received Christ into my life, and I was born again. And it's lasted 60 years. Right? That can happen to you. You all need a spiritual birthday. You all need to know that someday you came to Christ and your life was changed. And if it was changed even 60 years ago, it's going on being changed. God hasn't stopped yet. And I don't want him to. I want him to keep going. You know, I'm only 81 in a few days' time. That's all. You know, I can preach a few more sermons, surely. That's my attitude. Hallelujah. The other people that God wants to touch is people that perhaps made a decision some time ago for Christ, but it's not been really working like you know it should, and you want to have a fresh touch from the Lord. You know, the whole congregation could come forward if they wanted to, and there's enough here for God to touch every one of us and give us a touch in our lives where something happens. You know, I don't want you, and I don't believe God wants you, to go home from the morning service and say, well, it was all right, it was nice, it was a good sermon, hope so, and that sort of thing. Go home knowing that God is working. You have an encounter with him and something has happened to change you. That when you come here next week, you won't be the same as you are now because God has done something. Sick people can come. Hurting people can come and get the hurts there. Whatever. So, come on, my lad. Let's worship the Lord, because the best atmosphere for healing and miracles and blessing is worship. It is, there is nothing to compare with it. Wherever I go these days, I love to get people worshiping for ministry. So let's all stand and come forward, and the Lord bless you.